Now, stay tuned for the first hour of the Dr. and Mrs. Future radio show. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. How's that fog for timing today, huh? I mean, a beautiful sunny weekend for Labor Day.
Record-setting heat in some places.
And then today, after it's all over.
Really calming fog or smog. I mean, it's very red for fog. I think it's still smoky fires out there. But it is cool and moist.
And it does help. A little humidity goes a long way with fires.
Mm-hmm.
And smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And we still haven't got home yet, in case you were wondering.
Yes.
We live in Boulder Creek. Yeah. Hi, Bobby.
Hi. Wow. You're not back yet?
Well, went back once to visit on the weekend, but it was so hot there. Who wants to be in 117-degree heat?
Right. We went home just to scope out the damage on the first day that the evacuation order was lifted in our neighborhood.
And being on solar power, we don't have air conditioners, which suck power like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically the homestead is intact. It smells a little smoky because, of course, a lot of smoky air is floating around everywhere. But all of our doors and windows were closed. It's very minimal. It's just too hot. Too hot to be there.
But today is the big shift. So maybe tomorrow. Yeah. So we've got a few good stories. I appreciate the ones you sent, Bobby.
Oh.
Some of the new COVID-19 information.
It's a sea change.
It's a completely different viewpoint. I mean, yeah, validated by the fastest supercomputers in the world.
Right. I like that they're doing, what do they call them, double-blind trials with vitamins?
Yeah, exactly.
If we knew that's all it took, we could have been doing this a long time ago.
Yeah, even the supercomputer said we should take vitamin D.
Oh, it did.
It really did.
Second biggest supercomputer in the world, from what I was reading.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Vitamin D, vitamin C.
Yeah,
even Dr. Campbell was talking about vitamin D this week.
So, yeah, I saw his too. That was great, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he was really ragging on everybody else that isn't promoting vitamin D.
That's true. He's been somewhat sold on that a long time ago.
Yeah, he was the first one to say that vitamin D levels are very important in how sick you get with your COVID infection if you get it. If you have enough vitamin D, then your symptoms aren't too bad. If you have too much vitamin D, then...
And he was saying that if you have darker complexion skin, you've got to take more supplements because you're not going to absorb as much from the sun.
That's right. And that kind of accounts for why Black and Hispanics who generally try to avoid the sun are deficient in vitamin D, and they're the ones that have the highest fatality rates.
Mm-hmm. When coincidence. They end up,
coincidence, yeah.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
But it's backed up by the supercomputer.
Yeah. Well, must be right then.
Well, and the supercomputer was crunching data from the actual medical records of all of the people who've been admitted to hospitals with COVID conditions, and there was enough. In some cases, the data compared people who were tested for vitamin D levels a year ago, and so that information was on hand, and then they came in this year for COVID and tested positive for COVID, and they compared one group that was treated with vitamin D in addition to the standard protocol and one group that was treated with the standard protocol without vitamin D, and they found a very statistically significant difference that those who had high levels of vitamin D fared far better, almost 200% better than people who had deficient levels of vitamin D.
Yeah. What phase is the vitamin D most useful? The preventative phase?
Well, in all phases. In fact, you know, there's no case or no phase in the disease progress that vitamin D does not help.
So it's a good idea to supplement vitamin D.
Yes.
Every day.
And you know, if you see Dr. Schwelt, which is the MedCram guy.
Yes.
His analysis of this bradykinin hypothesis, and he goes into the vitamin D there, and then he says, you know, you should look at some of his older videos and where he talks about vitamin D, and he has a personal one where he, you know, I think it's 59, where it was a YouTube number 59 on COVID. He actually gives his own private protocol of vitamin D, how much he takes personally, you know, every morning.
Yeah. Right. So when I was talking about it, the sea change in people's attitudes about the COVID virus and the disease, it really is about the fact that people are waking up and that science is allowing vitamins to be represented as part of the solution, which really seems like it was being squelched.
Yeah, well, it seems more like there's a lag time with mainstream science, so that it has to, you know, in order for you just say something is functional or definitive or useful, it's got to be in double blind controlled studies. It's got to show an efficacy in the context by which you're speaking of.
Well, because maybe the people who want to be corrupt in those spheres know that that's how they can put their thumb on the scale and distort the data, because you have to be really smart to see how they're distorting it. I mean, the fact that the hydroxychloroquine article published in The Lancet needed to be recalled because the official CDC data was, the tests were done in a very unrepresentative way.
Well, as I've often said, we're a very opportunistic species, and all kinds of perspectives are being promulgated. And there will be people that fudge the data. I mean, you can't stop that. Well, you can slow it down, but you can't stop it.
Well, I think that it's harder to fudge the data.
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, though. There's a lot of really good science that's coming through on this, too.
And bless the internet, and look at the era that we're in. There are so many eyes on the ball that it's much harder to get away with even this kind of corruption, where the experts know how to fool the masses because nobody can penetrate their expert language.
Right? So
go ahead.
What it is you have to look at the pharmaceutical companies and the people that are going to profit from these. You know, they're getting several billion dollars, each of these large companies that are producing the
big
vaccine.
Bucks. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the deal is this. If there is no treatment for a certain disease, then they can actually force everyone to take a vaccine. You know, they can influence that. So that's what the law is that came out in like 1920 or something from the first vaccines, that how they allowed vaccines to not be how they're regulated.
Right, which is less regulation than regular drugs.
Right. So you have to see that, you know, and in the very beginning, they're saying, yeah, there's no treatment for this. You know, nothing's going to work. Don't take vitamins. Don't do anything. You know, just wait for the vaccine.
Yeah, so that was a scam to make money on vaccines.
I wouldn't call it a scam. I would just call it almost an automatic behavior.
Well, when does scam blur the line for automatic behavior?
When there's an intentionality to deceive.
Okay, so you don't think that the profit motive creates enough intentionality to deceive to explain why there's such a denunciation of simple things like vitamins?
I think there are people in the big pharma that definitely think that way, but I wouldn't say everything's that way. That's all I'm saying. Just consider it's one of the factors we have to consider in teasing out what's really going on here.
I agree. One of many things to pay attention to.
Okay, so after the break, I'd like to hear a little bit about the bradykinin, yes.
Hypothesis.
Okay, great. We'll see you right after the break. Talking to Bob Miller. Hey, welcome back to the show. So, we're talking to Bobby Wilder about the breakthrough hypothesis of COVID, that's just been announced. But we're going to hold on that for a second for a caller. We have a caller on the line.
We do. We have Andreas from Capitola. Hi,
Andreas, welcome to the show.
Hello, am I on?
You're on, yeah. Hey, welcome.
Oh, cool. I didn't hear the ding. Nice to talk to you guys, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You were talking about the vitamin D. I saw that article, and I read just the very beginning of it, and I was real happy to see that it's being acknowledged now by a more mainstream part of the fractal.
Yes. That it's, yes. I agree. It's lag time.
Not only is it exciting that they're accepting vitamins now, but to me it really throws a wrench into the narrative when it comes to two different things. One is the stay-at-home shelter orders across the country by all sorts of different quote-unquote authorities, whether it's local, state, or federal recommendations.
Or even just grocery store clerks with attitude.
What's that? Yeah, no. Yeah, everybody thinks it's their turn to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
So that's one part of it. And then the other part, I do remember the COVID thing being, you know, loosely tied to accusations of racism. And when you bring in the race card, you know, because the underprivileged are usually racial minorities, and so the response or the lack of response to the quote-unquote pandemic is racist. But now you take a step back and figure the vitamin D into it. People with darker skin need more sunshine to make more vitamin D.
Or they take supplements,
You could take supplements, which takes money, and you need to buy that. And if you're underprivileged.
Yeah, or more sunshine, for sure. Yeah, I agree.
And what is more natural than sunshine? And what is more unnatural than putting you in house arrest by, order of the government?
Oh, isn't that interesting? I never made that connection, too. But the house arrest is actually the opposite of recommending a health remedy such as vitamin D. They're telling you to do the opposite of what's good for your health.
How many of our local health officers, whether it's our state health officer, Dr. Angel of Death, and our local Gail Mule, did you ever hear her say, take your vitamins, something healthy?
I agree with you. This is maddening to me that these people claim to have our health at heart, and they don't begin to tell you how to stay healthy with vitamins.
And in a holistic health central like Santa Cruz here, where our health doctors don't know about this stuff? I mean, it seems...
I think we need a health officer that reflects our values, and I think the current one we have here does not represent our values and our ability to self-govern. I think most of us know how to take our health into our own hands a lot better than what these people with authority or power.
Well, it also kind of reveals how there's a separation between allopathic medicine and holistic health thinking still
it's even beyond that. I mean, holistic just means that it's whole system, right? It doesn't necessarily...
Yeah, preventative as well as, preventative as well as curative medicines.
Well, they're coming out, in my opinion, it's looking more like the government establishment health officers are more in line with the pharmaceuticals, big surprise, rather than on the side of the people.
Yeah, we sort of saw that coming for a while, it's...
So, anyways, thank you for covering that story, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we got some other people coming on later I think you'll appreciate, some alternative views on this. So I appreciate your attention.
Well, I'm interested. I'm interested in all that plus action to replace some of the people who are making decisions that directly affect our health. Mm-hmm. Whatever, my body, my choice. Let me get some sunshine. Don't close the beach on me, bro.
Mm-hmm. The beach, the whole beach thing. People,
you guys had some guests a few weeks ago that were involved in with reopening the beaches, and I'd be happy to hear them again.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have on our links page. I have an interview I did with one of these folks on our links page. You can listen. It's an 8-minute piece. I don't know if I'll have time to put it on the air, but it's there at the drfutureshow.com/links page.
Yeah, so we were
just
at...
Just did it this weekend.
Yeah, we were at one of the weekend protests against the edict to close the beaches, and there was a gathering of a lot of Santa Cruz locals who are very well-versed on what the laws of the state are and on the laws of masking and the laws of being... having access without discrimination to places that are meant to serve the public. And there's definitely a challenge going on in the overreach of authority that was executed by Governor Newsom by ordering county health officials to come up with arbitrary laws without any kind of public process. So.
And then the gross thing about it, too, is that it's not just an order from the health officer, but it's enforceable by the county sheriff. That is, you know, it's an elected position that is supposed to be doing the will of the people, not the will of the government.
Right. Well, that's why the legal challenges are all about who do these people even know that they've taken an oath to uphold our laws? And do they realize that what they're doing is making up laws and enforcing made up laws, which are called edicts, because there is no authorized constitutional process that gives them the authority to do what they're doing, but somehow mass hypnosis allows them to.
Well, at what point does the medical need override our constitutional rights?
Never.
Never.
I am responsible for my health. You are responsible for your health. For you to shame me into making me responsible for your health when you're not taking care of it, and you're not taking your vitamins, and you're not avoiding sugar, and you're not doing things that allow you to be relatively healthy, and you want to blame me when I am taking responsibility for my health and say it's my fault that you're sick, you have overreached.
The other, what you were talking about earlier, that the edicts, that's also known as a color of law, and that's against federal law, current federal law, to be doing things that are called color of law. You know, it looks like the law, but it's not really the law, and that's enforceable. The FBI, you know, they tell the public, call us if you have any reports or any anything you want to tell us about color of law with your local officials.
Yeah, well, I just think that this mass hypnosis of convincing people that they are responsible for, you know, killing the vulnerable by practicing their own health by their own standards is public shaming that is very much the equivalent of the way that in Nazi Germany they started getting the Jews to wear armbands pointing out that they were the Jews. I really think it's exactly the same thing. It's meant to isolate people and intimidate them in groups and to make the enforcers the indignant petty tyrants that were formerly their community and their friends. People who want to impose their will on others without any kind of a legal process are the guilty ones. They are infringing on our civil rights, and they don't realize it because they think they have a right for you to protect their health, even though they don't protect their own health. It makes me mad.
No, it's a dialogue. Part of it is that you can, according to the data that we're being fed, that you can make others sick.
Yes, you can make others sick, and I'm very willing to keep 6 feet of distance from people who feel that they're vulnerable. And I'm not going to go into a nursing home without a mask. I mean, there are definitely courtesy things that all of us are doing freely of our own free will. But when you start legislating it and shaming people if they don't comply.
Well, it's like the Stanford experiment gone really bad.
It is. It is. It's giving the people the right to zap the person on the other end.
Giving people, authority over each other creates a lot of, it shows you how badly people know how to wield authority.
It is, because there's no
shaming. It
there's
seems
no
to be
recourse.
Still very common in our society. That's interesting.
There's no recourse,
yeah.
And there's an incentive for people without authority to abuse their absent authority. There's an incentive to publicly shame others because you feel weak and vulnerable.
Hmm. Well, there's incentive because you feel like that person might kill you.
That's true, but if you believe that washing your hands and wearing a mask and keeping distance from people is an effective method, which the tests show that it is, then why are you busy telling people to not go to the beach, for instance?
Well, the beach you'd think would be a healthy place.
Yeah, I think it's because the police have trouble enforcing the edicts in a place where they have to run across the sand to catch somebody. So you make it easy for the police to be the enforcers And then you make it fashionable for the grocery clerks to be the enforcers. And then, you know, the people who are going about their business feeling like they're healthy enough to keep a distance from people who aren't healthy, but they don't want to be told they can't go to the beach, they're the bad guys.
Yeah, it's like an upside down world right now.
Yeah.
I know. I know.
Anyway.
Yeah, I saw this video by Dr. Mobeen Syed, and it was, you know, it's the Dr. Mobeen medical lectures series, and he was talking about, well, what's going to happen in the winter, you know, is it more likely we're going to contract this disease? And it's because there's less humid, you know, what you really need to be is at the beach where you have this mist and an ocean breeze. And it's going to capture the aerosols and put them to the ground because they're in the, when there's moisture. If you, let's say you're in a cold climate where there's snow, there's actually no humidity in the air. And that's when you actually breathe, it's going to go further. And because of the cold and you're not getting enough sunshine, you're not producing vitamin D. There's so many other things that it's, and being inside, that's where you're going to most likely contract it. Mm. And so,
yeah, right. It's almost never outside.
Yeah,
and yet everyone's wearing their mask outside. What's that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, we need a better process. I mean, I'm very willing to help everyone preserve their health, but I want it to be a public wisdom council. I don't want it to be an unelected edict.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're gonna get more into the beach thing later. Okay, welcome back to the show. No, we haven't covered any of our stories yet, but that's okay. We've got a nice little conversation going. We have a caller, Mrs. Future?
We do. We have Richard from Pacific Grove.
Hey, Richard, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Hey. I love you guys so much. I thought I'd have some controversy.
Yay, all right. You got something really controversial for us?
I do.
All right.
I want to know, did you hear about the fire that was started down in San Bernardino?
No.
I heard it was started by some party involving a gender identification party or something.
Right. Now, if we have a young couple so stupid to use fire to have a gender identification program,
announcement. Their baby, their pregnancy, they're saying what the sex of their baby is.
Is it blue smoke or pink smoke?
Whatever smoke it is, they set the damn place on fire.
I know, it's not good. Not good.
Should we take the baby from them? That's the question. That's the controversy.
Well, was it pink or blue?
Oh, that's right. Now,
if they are so stupid to use fire to try and do something during fire season, what the hell are they going to do to that poor kid?
Well, I hadn't thought about the kid part, but I do think the authorities were planning to make them pay for the firefighting of that fire.
Yeah, I understand that, but how stupid can we be? You know, back here, you were just talking about you didn't think that the pharmaceuticals, you know, not everybody. I'm totally with your wife. This is a money thing.
Yeah.
There are people making tons and tons of money on this thing.
Yeah,
everybody from the people making masks.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, they're not even hiding it, right? They're not even hiding it. They're telling you how many billions are going directly to them.
You can hardly find the old inexpensive thermometers anymore. Now they're all gone to these computer things where you shoot yourself in the head, you know?
Yeah.
$35 a pop.
Yeah, for a thermometer.
Come on, for a thermometer, you know?
But it has memory.
All right, anyway, I think we should take the baby for its own safety.
Well, I think that's maybe a little overkill.
Should we have an adoption on the air here? Who wants to adopt it?
No, I think people make mistakes, and there is no law against stupidity. And you have to be willing to you have to adjust after people do something stupid. You have to figure out if there's a way to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Well, Yes. I have a way of making sure that these people don't do it again. But yeah. We can't talk about it on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully,
I think
lessons
taking
have been
a child here. Away from its parents is never a good idea.
Yeah, it's not good for the child.
I'm only kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, of course you're kidding. Yeah, we always take you unkiddingly.
Yeah. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. So was it a boy or a girl? Do you know what happened?
I mean, to the. No, I don't know. I hope they name it Firehead or something.
How about Hothead?
Hothead, Smokey.
Smokey.
I don't know what the hell. All right, have a nice weekend.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
We were looking for a little more comedy on this show.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, a good comic to turn a lot of this material into stand-up.
Oh, yeah. Comedy is
so
the only thing that's
going
to help us turn the tide here. If we can't laugh at ourselves, boy, we're going to lose a lot.
Yeah. How would you even start it? I almost lost my house the other day. I don't know. It's not funny, and yet.
Well, humor is never really supposed. It's a surprise, and it's a little bit unacceptable. That's just what makes it humor.
Right. Okay. Well, so Bobby, we were going to talk about this Brandekinin. A thesis, isn't it?
The hypothesis.
Hypothesis,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell us about this. What this?
Don't we have a break right now?
We just came back from a break.
Yeah, we finished that break.
We did. Okay.
We have
we
7 minutes till the next break.
7 minutes for this conversation.
I think this is undisputable. I mean, we have a higher authority where we have the supercomputer coming out and saying that. Yes, you should take vitamin D. It's hard. It's hard for the pharmaceuticals or researchers or doctors saying you shouldn't take anything. Wait and just take the vaccine. That's what they're saying. So it's really hard when you have, this Daniel Jacobson. He's a computational systems biologist at Oak Ridge, in a national laboratory, and.
Yeah,
he has right now he has the second fastest. He had two supercomputers. He had the Summit and he also had the Rhea supercomputer. And in 2021, they're going to have the fastest supercomputer in the world. It's going to be built by instead of by IBM. It's going to be built by AMD. And Cray computers. And
there's lots of data has been crunched for this. But we've heard so much about the cytokine storms. But what?
Yes.
What is the Brandekinin hypothesis?
So everybody was worried. Well, was coming up with their own hypothesis of how the cytokine storm was happening, and that was the pathway to this disease. Mm. But now there's this. The supercomputer came up with a completely different pathway. Which is called the Brandekinin pathway. And it is triggered, the parts of it are triggered. You might have heard of the ACE2 receptor.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But more importantly, it actually is downgrading the ACE1 receptor. So it's another pathway. And actually, if you look at this whole theory, it's a much simpler and it explains all the aspects that people of different phases of sickness of this disease, it explains it better than all these other hypotheses. And they were, was kind of like a Goldberg hypothesis, of how
you mean
things,
like the Rube's Goldberg machine?
Yes.
Where kind of like the ball goes through a basket and down a ramp and over a slide and et cetera. And that kind of machine.
That's when you were looking at the cytokine storm, you had to go through all these hoops and hurdles and saying all these other chemicals and molecules were happening at the same time. And this Brandekinin pathway is much simpler. Hmm. And it explains all these aspects.
Like why 20% of COVID-19 patients have heart damage.
Yes. And the reason is that this Brandekinin is a vasodilator. And it dilates so much that the vessels, the small, very small vessels, whether it's in the heart or the kidneys or in the lungs, they start bleeding. They start leaking fluids. And these fluids turn into like a gel-type substance. It's like Jell-O in the lungs, for instance. And that's why they were inverting these patients and putting them on ventilators, because they were drowning in these fluids. And they're saying, where did those fluids come from? Well, the supercomputer did 17,000 genetic samples of these fluids that came out of these patients and tested for 40,000 genes, and then came up with this own analysis, which is, you know, just out of the blue, said, you know, it's you've got it wrong about the ACE2. It's more about the ACE1, and it's the bradykinin hypothesis is right. What they're saying.
Right, and they say that the drugs that target components of it are already FDA approved.
That's right. And so, you know, those people that we're talking about, zinc ionophores, for instance, hydroxychloroquine, or these cortisols like ivermectin and any of those, they have a place in this bradykinin hypothesis. So those people were right that these things could work. They do work, but it's more simply explained by the bradykinin hypothesis than it is by the cytokine storm, you know. So
yeah, good.
It's great.
Well, it shows you the power of computation and AI and solving some of our big problems today. So we have a link to this at our links page, but you can also just search for bradykinin and you'll find all kinds of information online about it right now.
Yes,
and they've addressed it as well in MedCram, which was one of our favorite sites to check out if you want to know more technical detail about how it works.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, if you can make links to the three videos that were talking about the bradykinin. So yes. there was MedCram, mm-hmm. there was Dr. Chris Martinson from Peak Prosperity. He talked about the bradykinin, and he explains it in layman's terms, you know. And then the most in-depth, you know, deep dive into this is Dr. Mobine. Dr. Mobine Syed, you know, his medical series. He goes in, you know, if you're talking to biochemists or anything like that, he explains it in detail. And then he reiterates that vitamin D3 is important, zinc is important, these zinc ionophores are important, ivermectin's important, all of these things are very, even, and he talked about those previously. In just like Dr. John Campbell has spoken about vitamin D and these other zinc ionophores.
That's right. So, you know, it's just a new hypothesis, and suddenly it all begins to make sense.
Yeah, it makes sense now. It's just like, it's crazy.
So we're going to put the AI to work in figuring out what are the best strategies for dealing with the virus now?
What are the strategies for giving people back the confidence that if they don't have symptoms, they're healthy enough to go out in public?
Yeah, or what about preventative, overall preventative measures? Is it really true that 6 foot distance is important? Is it true that it's not important outside as it is inside? I've heard that masks, for example, are like trying to stop a fly with a chain link fence. You know, so what are they? Are they really just a waste of time or absolutely essential?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's so much confusion on all this, and then people becoming petty tyrants by forcing people to, you know, to wear a mask when maybe the whole thing is
bad science.
Bad science, yeah. I mean, it's almost a joke. So we got a caller, Mrs. Future?
We do, but we have to go to a break. I want to ask people to just be patient. We'll be right back with the Dr. Future Show. We want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, be right back.
You see, not too bad, living life.
All right, welcome back to the show. Okay, let's bring in the next caller, Mrs. Future.
Okay, well, let's see. We have Rory in Watsonville.
Rory, hey, Rory.
Hi, Rory, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for the info and your stand-in doctor or physician that you have there. I forget his name.
Bobby.
Thank you.
He's our researcher.
Bobby?
That's our science correspondent here. Yeah. He's a comprehensive generalist.
Yeah, you're not there you go. You're not forgettable. I just didn't know your name. You're like hovering there.
The secret background weapon. Yes.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. Back on the 18th of August, I was reading an article, and that's where I first came across the fact that zinc is an ionophore that allows the cell to receive, among other things, bioflavonoids. And this one letter, you know, you can learn stuff from the letters. This guy named off a bunch of bioflavonoids, or flavonoids for short, leucodelfindin, myricetin, and on, and the only one I really recognized was quercetin.
Yeah.
But he named off like six of them. I if you give out your email, I'll just shoot you this a copy of this. I screenshotted the letter. But
future at KSCO.com. Future at KSCO.
Okay.
Get to us.
Future.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it. Okay. I'll do it, Mr. or Dr. Future. But it's, you know, vitamin D, vitamin C, the bioflavonoids, zinc. You're pretty much bulletproof unless you're very sick. And we just need to keep getting this info out. There's a cheap, inexpensive, very effective way to approach this thing. Who needs a vaccine if your body's immune system is in tip-top shape? So I just thank you for getting your info out, and I just wanted to let you know other people are talking about it, and it's out there.
Yeah.
People will read and look and search. So,
excellent.
I appreciated your fire coverage, too. I know that's not completely done. One thing of note, and I'll forward that to you, the Al Smith Jr.'s one-third scale steam locomotive train at Swanton Pacific Ranch. Unfortunately, all the buildings burned. That was one-third operational steam locomotives from the 1915 Panama Pacific Exposition that was held in San Francisco.
Wow.
He's got all the rolling stock. There's only one locomotive that they don't have, and that's in the train museum in Sacramento. He ended up with the roundhouse, all the equipment. It's amazing. I mean, they had open houses, and Cal Poly has the ranch now. But unfortunately, their forestry manager guy that manages the ranch didn't prepare for this, even though they had the Lockheed fire in 2009. It's very disappointing as an alum of Poly to see them drop the ball and not prepare for this inevitability.
Wow.
And I'll send that to you. It's something you should know about. They say they're going to restore it, and that was... Huh?
Did you say, is it still restorable, or is it a total loss?
Well, it's all cast iron, you know.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fireproof, but unfortunately, you know, I'm sure, you know, they lost a lot of stuff. And it's going to take time to rebuild that equipment. I mean, the building that was over the roundhouse burned, but how do you burn a roundhouse that's steel in the ground, right? You might have to replace the ties. That stuff's not going anywhere. But it's... once they get it back up and restored, it's worth a trip. And there was over 2 miles of track that Al Smith had put in up there.
Nice.
And he gave that to Cal Poly. It's 3,200-acre operating farm and ranch. But he gave it to them under the stipulation that they keep that train operational.
Wow.
And
thank
so
you, Rory. That's really fascinating. I hope that that's open again to the public soon. It sounds great. I was not aware of that.
Yeah.
I'll send you the article from the Mercury News on it.
Cool.
All right, you guys. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Rory.
Bye.
Yeah. All right. We're going to go to Judy in Live Oak. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Judy.
Hey, thanks. I just have a short anecdote. You know that Dr. Stella Emanuel, a black woman from, she's like a...
Oh, yes.
She's a pastor. She's part of the women, America's frontline doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's an unforgettable person.
Right.
And healed every one of her patients, you know. Anyway, yesterday she put it out on Twitter that she's the second time I read this. She wants someone to get her sample of Nancy Pelosi's blood.
Oh, yeah.
She's asked it twice now. She wants someone to get her a sample of Pelosi's blood because she wants to prove that Pelosi is definitely on HCQ because she's going, like, she went to that salon without a mask and all that stuff. So yeah. I think it's so funny. I just wanted to let you guys know. It's just, I've seen it twice. She's putting it out there. So if anyone knows how to get Pelosi's blood, that's Dr. Emanuel. You can find her online. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I don't know how Nancy's. Maybe she belongs to the Methuselah Society.
What?
Well, the Methuselah Society, it's a Monterey, Silicon Valley thing where they get blood from younger people and give it to older people and they feel younger.
Oh, you're going to talk about adrenochrome now on the air?
No, I'm not going to talk about adrenochrome.
Well, people need to know, okay. You brought it up.
This is more, normal.
They sell it.
Normal
they sell science. Young blood. It went online 2 years ago. It was online that you buy young blood for a couple thousand bucks. So people, young blood is, where did all the children go? Hello, why do all these children disappear?
Well,
hello?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys,
hello?
This is getting creepy.
No, it's not Halloween yet.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to be.
Yeah, it's okay. That's the thing about theories and conspiracy. They go to the darkest possible thing you can imagine, and then maybe...
It's not a theory. It's not a theory. The stuff's on sale. You can buy it.
Yeah.
Okay, where they get it.
Yeah, well...
The young people come in and say, oh, take all my blood. I'm so young and healthy. I want to give you all my blood. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
thanks, Judy.
Adrenochrome, people, look it up.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well,
it sounds just like it sounds.
Here's something to think about. There was a scientific study we reported on where you hook up the circulatory system between an old mouse and a younger mouse. And interestingly enough, when the blood circulates between the older and the younger, they both become young.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw
human
that
beings
before.
Have this.
Yeah.
Well,
human beings have this.
There's a lot of mysterious things about blood we just don't know about yet. We're still in the dark ages, but they do seem to have an element of rejuvenation associated with them. Anyway, Bobby.
Well, it's in the movie. Yeah. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. There's a whole scene about it.
Okay. Well, let's leave it at that.
Johnny Depp. Okay, Dad.
Okay, thanks
guys,
dear.
For the great
thanks,
show.
Judy.
Bye.
Bye, Judy.
All right. Well, we have Michael.
Oh, she goes
Golden
far as you
Creek.
Want to.
Hi, Michael.
Yeah. Hey, Michael.
Hello. Dr. Future, this is Master Now.
Oh, Master Now, yes. Now. All right. Bring us into the moment, sir. What do you got for us?
I have to say, there comes a time, there's a time for political correctness, and there's a time when one should call a spade, heart to heart, and a club. And based on the interactions that I and friends have had out in the world, where...
Yeah.
Not having a mask properly placed, it results in altercations. I believe the powers that be, vested interests, have successfully clubbed us enough around the head and shoulders to divide us against ourselves, so that we simply are spending all of our time arguing with each other and not actually taking a look at what's going on behind the scenes.
See, so the arguing is separating us so we don't see the bigger picture.
It's mass distraction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In my opinion... That's not the solution.
And so what should we be paying attention to instead?
Yeah, what mythology should we embrace? The butterfly from the chrysalis, that we're at the stage of being imaginal cells, where we need this fluidity in order to create the new structure?
I like actually that analogy. The ones who are insisting that you... their rules, otherwise you are bad, that's the caterpillar who has mastered its environment and done very well for itself. The imaginal cells are those that are going, maybe I have a different idea of what I want to do with my body and how I want to feed it. And then, so I think that's one way you can look at it. But I certainly believe whatever is dividing us against each other is not part of the solution. We have to find areas where we agree and start working towards that.
I see. So focus on agreements and connections and resonance rather than arguments and separation.
Well, I think whenever you self-righteously say, you over there, you over there for whatever reason, you with the mask, you without the mask, you the Republican, you the Democrat. If you don't feel the way I feel, if you don't do what I think you should do, you are bad and you are wrong and you need to be punished.
Yeah.
I think that is That is absolutely the worst possible thing we can be doing as a society that wants to actually evolve through this.
Well, it is kind of revealing of how much self-righteousness there is in society right now. And then how do we respond to it? And how it's all handled, you know. I mean, it could actually help us heal some of the wounds around these things. The separation can lead us to reflecting on our own behavior towards it. And perhaps that's for the integration, where we stop and reflect on our behavior and evolve it a little bit as a result of having found ourselves judging or being super judgmental about something we disagree with. And there's nothing more polarizing than something right in front of you, like a mask or not a mask.
Right. And you can use this to help you heal by not responding to people who probably believe they're, you know, totally in the right to try to foist their beliefs on you, and having some compassion for them. And rather than getting bristly and confrontive, you know, there's got to be other more skillful ways to tai chi that particular move.
Yeah, I was thinking of having a mask that has like some of the new flexible screens, so that I could put images from my mouth where my mouth would be. And sort of have a right, I can text messages. I could actually text to people around me.
That's great.
No,
that's a great idea.
Thanks. All right, okay, very good. Okay, well, we should hear from some more interesting people right after the break. Thank you, Dr. Now, Mr. Now. Master Now, excuse me. Master Now.
Master Now.
Yes, and, appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. All right, well, there you have it. Another fine hour talking about stuff that concerns us all. Thanks for your attention, and please give us a call if we spark any thoughts on this arena from you.
Yes, we'll be back after news, traffic, weather. This is KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey.
See you on the other side.
And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. Got myself, we got Mrs. Future in the studio, and Bobby in San Francisco, our science correspondent, on the line to field whatever calls come in. And for our next call, go ahead, Mrs. Future.
Yes, we have a friend of ours that we've been having some really great conversations with lately. And so
we just met this week.
Robert in Aptos.
Now, Robert has some interesting views on his approach to masks. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we have been talking about masks with you, and we wanted to share your perspective on this, on the whole mask happening in our culture right now. Where do you stand at this point?
Well, I see the mask issue as the government coming with their hand and putting it over my mouth and my nose to restrict my breathing and perhaps to stop my breathing at some point.
So you see it as an antagonistic thing to your freedom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we were all born with this gift of breath, and never in history have I recalled in my lifetime that anything like this could possibly happen. And now they're actually going to the point where they're restricting my right to breathe, my natural right to breathe freely and unobstructed.
And when you say they're doing this, you said something about how it's not really the law that's doing this. It's the people just complying with something that isn't really the law.
Well, that's correct. These are edicts, these are mandates, these are orders that, you know, come from the governor and on down through the different counties and through their health directors. And they parrot these orders, but yet none of these orders have ever gone out in writing to any of the business owners. They've never gone out in writing to any of the citizens.
Really?
And so they... You know, the people hear things on the news media and from other people that, oh, we have to shut our business down, or we have to wear a mask, or we have to social distance. Well, where did that all come from? Well, there is no basis in law for this. So if there was, they would have already done so. But these are just orders that have come from an executive officer who thinks that he is in a government position that where he can actually make law, and that's not his prerogative. He's administrator of the executive branch, and that's not his purview. That is left up to the legislature to decide on what shall be law, if it complies with the Constitution, for instance.
Well, do you think there's any point where medical rights supersede constitutional rights? You know, where?
No. No, absolutely not. Because, you know, the law, you know, if we go back to the old American law, the American jurisprudence that America was founded upon, the law really cannot compel performance. So the law is there just to keep us from doing things which are, you know, are unlawful, are crimes. But the law cannot come and tell me that I have to do something. It's really never been that way in America under common law, under constitutional law.
Well, what about laws that say that you have to pay your taxes?
Well, same thing. That's whether it's a law that you have to pay taxes or, you know, enroll in Obamacare, the same thing. You know, there actually is no law that says that, you know, at least for myself, have to file a 1040 and pay income tax. There is no one that's ever been able to produce, including the IRS, a law that requires me to do so. So again, it's based on hearsay and bluff, and it's no difference for this corona thing. Yeah, and wearing masks. It's all, in my eyes, it's all bluff.
And so the people who are resisting wearing masks, you know, what is the strategy that they're using to maintain their freedom?
Strategy that people are using to maintain their freedom?
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure if I understand that question, but perhaps, you know, We really have to go back to the law. What does the law say on these issues that are coming down from these government officials? You know, we have to go back to what is constitutional, ultimately.
So let me throw it to you in terms of my limited research in that area. The law says, in the California Constitution, for example, it says that the governor has the right to allow a county health officer to quarantine a sick person for public health reasons and to isolate them and to quarantine people who've been exposed to that sick person so that a disease does not become a public problem. And it doesn't stipulate how long that county health officer is allowed to do that, and it doesn't state anything else except that the government can allow the county health officer to do that. So,
well,
what do we do?
That may be in the Constitution. However, all these things that are in the Constitution, regardless, still are required to, you know, go through the process of what we call due process of law. And these mandates are not considering the rights of the individual, or even allowing due process of law to be even initiated. So there is a big problem with that, you know. But we can go further than that. Even is that Constitution, or the current California Constitution of 1871, is that really a lawful Constitution, or is it in fact de facto? Okay. And what most people have forgotten in California is that we've actually have at least two constitutions. The first constitution was 1849. All right, and that's the constitution that set the boundaries of the state of California state, I should say, not the state of California. 1871 came along, and they created the corporate structure that stayed under the corporate charter known as the state of California. So that's a totally different entity, which is actually de facto. So from that standpoint, they've incorporated things which are not constitutional, which you don't find in the 1849 Constitution. So we're dealing with different issues here. It depends what perspective we're coming from. But if we always come from the perspective of law and justice, and the operation of law, then it cannot be so that the Constitution can grant that type of authority to an individual. So, in other words, if I as an individual, or if you as an individual, cannot steal because we have laws that govern that and call that a crime, then certainly a body of men or women that come together can also not commit a crime.
Okay, great. We have to go to a break right now, Robert. And thank you. Did you want to ask him anything else after the breakout?
Yeah, I have one question for you. If you could hold on for another few minutes, we'd appreciate it.
Okay, we'll do it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. We'll be right back. Dr. Future Show.
Okay, Rob, welcome back to the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show. We have Robert and Aptos on the phone, who was just sharing some thoughts on the legality of our voluntary muzzling that's going on in this country, and the world, for that matter. And I'm just curious, before you go, Robert, what do you think we should do at this point? In terms of, should we just... figure out a new way of creating authority, or understanding how best to deal with this, or what? What if the restraints on putting on face masks gets more stringent? What do we do? I mean, at what point can we do anything about this?
Well, there is. If we can get enough people to understand, and these business owners to understand, that in fact there is no lawful requirement for them to comply with anything that comes out of the governor's mouth or the health director's mouth.
Well, they get fined, don't they? I mean, don't the restaurants get fined?
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. They're certainly finding themselves in court with mega fines.
Yes, they get fined because they voluntarily pay it. And, that's happened to a pastor in San Jose. He voluntarily paid the fine, didn't question it, but he didn't have to pay the fine. Same with business owners. If business owners understood the law and knew how to stand up to these people, they would have no enforcement capability.
What about when the government starts putting liens on your property because you didn't pay them?
Well, those type of liens can be easily reversed off the record, okay? Because those indeed are not lawful liens. And that's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
IRS does that all the time. IRS liens people's properties, bank accounts. You know, a notice of lien, for instance, is not a actual lien. It's just a notice. And those things are easily taken off of your record if you know how to do that.
Oh, yeah, so you're saying basically resist. Don't just blindly follow authority at this point. Question authority. The old adage of question absolutely. Authority. And don't, don't be a victim.
Yes, stop being submissive. Submissiveness is not our heritage. Submissiveness is not our heritage, never was, and it never should be.
Yeah, okay? I think most Americans have an innate distrust of government anyway.
Exactly.
It's what our founding fathers tried to protect us against, with checks and balances. So, yeah.
Right. I would just say, just stop wearing these silly masks, which do nothing anyway to protect you or I. Stop social distancing. Just go back the way it was. All right, because this whole thing is a fraud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it's you think it's all it's not a real virus?
No, I do not. Absolutely not.
Okay. Well,
it hasn't been substantiated that it is.
The problem is that
most people believe and they see what they hear.
Yeah.
Pardon me. They believe what they see and they believe what they hear, and then they do what they're told to do. And this is the problem. That's not our heritage in this country. Our heritage has been resistance of this type of tyranny. And we've gotten to the point where so many people have been programmed to do what they're told to do. Business owners go, they go get business licenses so they can do their livelihood. They get permits from the health department. They get all kinds of things. They set up corporation structures, okay? All submissively, all things that they don't really have to do, and in my opinion, shouldn't do, because that puts them in lockstep with the government, because they all become instrumentalities of the government that way. Therein lies the problem. Now they're under contractual agreement to do certain things and to not do certain things.
Gotcha.
And now, okay, go, anyway.
I wanted to say, could you hold on a second? I think we have Colonel Terry on the line who wants to add something. as well.
Okay.
To this.
Okay. Hello, Colonel Terry. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, beautiful, smart lady, and your lucky husband.
Yeah. Yes. Good to hear from you, Colonel Terry. Have you been hearing what our last our caller has been saying? Are you there? Hello? Did we lose?
Well, somehow, Colonel Terry, it looks like he's there, but maybe he got accidentally muted or something.
Check your mute. Yeah, that's what we say all the time on these Zoom calls.
Unmute yourself.
Yes, unmute yourself.
Even on the radio, you have to unmute yourself.
Well, you know, there's nothing like real-time technical difficulties.
Speak me loud and clear now.
There he is.
There you go.
Yes,
what
there,
happened?
You're back.
Okay. There you go.
Yes. Just
as we say in the Air Force, loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Hey, I think Robert was in the military as well.
What prompted you to call in is, you know, unabashedly, I've studied the law and the Constitution, and that includes places like Harvard, although not all wisdom emanates from there. And I've also studied science, starting with biology, that includes viruses.
Yes.
And I also can respect the credentials and the integrity of someone like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, all the other places. And the reality of, yes, it really is a virus. Yes, it's identified. Yes, it has all these little prongs on it. And yes, it's killed, murdered, nearly 200,000 Americans and other people worldwide. It is fatal, can be. Mm-hmm. We know how it works. In terms of the government's right, our Constitution reflects what Rousseau and Voltaire described as the social contract in the Age of Enlightenment. We have a shared obligation to behave towards each other responsibly, honestly, and with some national cohesion. And we also have in the Constitution the phrase to promote the general welfare, as well as law and justice. That general welfare includes letting the government coordinate in all of our behalf, for all of our benefit, to address a nationwide plague or invasion, whether it's a virus or whether it's the Russians.
Mm-hmm. That's their prerogative. That's what they're there for, to
the
handle emergencies.
Now, it's authorized to do that consistent with the constitutional requirements. Must be a rational, reasonable, informed basis for what decisions and controls or requirements they put on the citizenry. And the citizenry can appeal those to a court to look at them independently, and people have done that. Now, also, the social contract and promoting a general welfare and being a good citizen, I would tell your last caller, also includes you cannot recklessly endanger other people. You spreading disease from your own lungs, your own mucus, your mouth, and your saliva spit, droplets, do come out when you don't wear the mask and you speak to somebody at the counter or the restaurant or across a business.
Well, my objection to your argument, Colonel Terry, is that you muzzle healthy people without cause by assuming that they are infectious and that they need to protect others, and you have no proof that they need to protect others. You are assuming that, and you are passing a law that enforces that.
You may be spreading the virus and not know that you carry it. In addition, there is some evidence that wearing the mask reduces your own possibility of picking it up from somebody else. Spit and saliva.
Well, I think that in the very beginning, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx were saying that that was not the case, and now they've muddied the water by saying, well, perhaps that is the case, and that the lack of actual science to declare one way or the other is part of the problem, because we have no public process and we have mass confusion over what science to believe.
Well, that's also because we have a president who's a paranoid, pathological lunatic.
Well, it actually has to do with the fact that Anthony Fauci has contradicted himself on the mask issue. And therefore, everybody is making claims about what he said or what he didn't say, and he actually said contradictory things.
Well, I'm not sure they were contradictory as much as clarifying, but more importantly, some of the masks I've seen advertised on the web and elsewhere, a couple I've bought, have got the prospects of protecting you from inhaling virus-sized droplets as well.
Again, the issue is that we are failing to honor the rights of the citizen to protect their own health. And we are insisting that the citizen be mandated to protect someone else's health above their own health without regard to their decision-making process and without a test that determines that they are, that they should mandatorily be forced to. And this is an overreach because the health officer is only supposed to quarantine people who are known to be sick, not people who are healthy or potentially healthy.
No one's quarantining anybody by having them advisedly wear a mask.
Robert, John, you have something to add to it?
Yeah. Sorry, Robert.
I'd like to interject something, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
At what point did I or we become responsible for other people's health? Okay, not that I'm insensitive, but we cannot, as a point of law, where's the due process here afforded to those who are have no symptoms, who are not ill? Okay, and the hand of the government coming over upon my mouth to restrict my right to breathe. Where does that nonsense come from? That is not lawful. That there is no basis in law for that type of behavior.
Yeah, well, it's, can you spell asymptomatic?
and by the way, here's another point.
Yeah.
I keep hearing this. Well, the science is out on this. Okay, I believe all these scientists and doctors, what have you, in the government. But who has firsthand knowledge of this? Colonel Terry does not. Do I have firsthand knowledge that there's a virus? No, I do not have that. Does anybody that you know have firsthand knowledge that there is a such thing as Corona 19 that is killing people? I do not have it, and that is all hearsay. And if you don't have firsthand knowledge of the subject, then what are we talking about?
Emperor with no clothes story? I mean, it sounds a little like that.
In response, I would say that the 200,000 Americans who are dead from it and the millions worldwide who are dead.
There are no 200,000 dead from it. If you believe that, you haven't done your homework.
Well, there's that new study from the CDC.
This is no different than the phony AIDS epidemic that the same perpetrators of the CDC perpetrated upon the society, okay, and ended up killing lots of people as a result of it, okay? But it was not from a AIDS virus or the HIV virus. It was from misinformation that was put out there intentionally.
Not only is your reference to the AIDS in parallel irrelevant, it's also inaccurate information scientifically. And let's come back to the topic of COVID-19. It is killing people, and people are dying from it. Whether
it's
you believe the numbers
are
right or not, they are dying from it.
Yeah.
So do you have first-hand knowledge of that?
Very interesting.
All right, folks, we'll be back. Dr. and Mrs. Future and our guests. Thanks, everybody. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Yeah, we just have a couple of callers on the line, including Colonel Terry and Robert in Aptos.
And a few other people waiting. So, Colonel Terry, I think you wanted to wrap up.
Yeah, you had a final comment on this before we continue?
I'll let Robert go first.
Well, Terry, I'd like to ask you, do you know anyone who has personally died from this so-called COVID?
And yes.
Also, anyone else out there who actually knows someone who has actually died from this COVID?
You said yes, right?
Yes, I did.
With no other diseases attached,
well,
such as all these pre-existing conditions, which are most of the time there.
Well, they are, but it seems to feed on them, you know?
No medical, nor scientific, nor logical, nor actual explanation except COVID killed them.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, it's...
Tracking COVID of the COVID symptoms demonstrated.
What's a COVID symptom? Only the symptoms which they have, you know, a description which the CDC has come up with as being the symptoms of COVID. That doesn't mean anything to me. These people I've dealt with in the past, many of them are liars, and many of them are just, you know, unwitting accomplices, you know, the good people, but they're unwitting accomplices doing what they're told to do and told what to say. So I don't buy this at all. You know, I've had experience with this, with the CDC and others in the know, including Peter Duesberg, retrovirologist, on the AIDS thing. And this is no different. This is just more sophisticated. This is just more hype and fear. And by the way, where are the millions and millions of people who are supposed to be dying from this as predicted early on? Same thing that predicted millions of people worldwide would be dying from the AIDS epidemic, which never happened. The same old stories, the same old lies, and you know.
All right, Robert, let's let them get back to other callers. I will finish and reply with obviously the facts are it's a virus. The facts are it's killing people and making them very sick before it kills them.
Okay,
the facts are also that the CDC is not lying deceitfully. Neither is all of the other majority of people who've studied virology and have PhDs in it. Again, worldwide. You say don't be a victim of COVID. Don't be a victim of COVID by contracting it, by going in groups, by breaking the prudent rules of safety that Fauci has announced. And don't be a victim of COVID by contracting it and then spreading it to your family and others by failing to wear a mask. Real simple.
Okay.
And none of this is egregious on any of us to comply with.
Yeah.
That's the reality. We're in a new age here, and we have to learn to adjust with it until a vaccine is available.
Okay, well, thanks, Colonel Terry.
Thank you, Colonel Terry. And we are going to go to John in Santa Cruz, who has been patiently waiting. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing? You guys have another great show.
Thank you.
You know, I'll be honest. Robert's his name, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's still on the line, by the way.
Yeah, Robert, you had a lot of interesting things to say, but I'll be honest with you, man. You lost all credibility when you said that the virus doesn't exist. Let me ask you a question, Robert. If a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around, does it make a sound? I mean, that's how ridiculous you, in that situation, you would say it doesn't. Because nobody has proof that it made a sound. I mean, this is ridiculous. And to be honest with you, it's an injustice for those that have really gotten sick. To answer your question, yes, I know people that have died because of COVID. And to be honest with you, you sound absurd. And like I said, it's an injustice. And if you're going to say that AIDS is a hoax, you got no credibility, zero, none. Nada. I know people that died of AIDS as well.
Oh, really?
You know,
okay.
It's disappointing because there's people out there right now not going to wear a mask tonight because they heard Robert on the radio and they're going to get somebody sick and they're going to die. But yet Robert, well, because he feels his rights are infringed, he's going to go around and pimp this theory that COVID and AIDS is a hoax. Man, are you kidding me? If anything in life, let's follow the money. Would some sort of government conspiracy allow trillions and trillions of dollars to be siphoned, just sucked out of the economy? I don't see it. I don't see it. None of it makes sense. None of what you're saying makes sense. And you know what? I don't even want to take Robert's take because he says it's a hoax. I don't believe him. Thank you, folks. Have a great day.
Thank you, John.
Wow, interesting.
There you go.
Well, I have to say that the idea that the virus isn't real or isn't killing people is not one that I agree with. I think that there's plenty of evidence that the virus is real and that people with compromised immune systems are dying from it. And my concern is that this pressure to insists that everyone get vaccinated and that there's nothing we can do until there's a vaccination is a distortion. And that the fact that people are not being instructed how to improve their health, they're only being instructed how to act unhealthy, is my biggest criticism. That the way to have an adequate response to a genuine public health threat is to identify who's not healthy and figure out how to help them. It's not to identify all the healthy people and insist that they act unhealthy. That's the problem for me. So we have another caller, which is
Let's Robert respond.
Go ahead, Robert.
Well, I just want to say again, as a point of law in our, you know, longstanding American jurisprudence, it's not the individual that has to prove themselves innocent. You know, we're not guilty until, you know, we're not guilty because the government says we're guilty. We're actually innocent until we're proven guilty. And this whole COVID thing is reversing that whole role in law. That's just totally unacceptable.
Well, what?
So
need
to, you know, they're doing something against the people at large in the society, just in order to protect the few, you know, or the masses who believe that, you know, other people are going to make them sick and they may die from that. And that's never been, you know, that doesn't come from a standpoint of law.
Kathy,
that's absurd.
In Monterey is on the phone. Let's hear from Kathy.
Hey, Kathy, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. I just was thinking that the doctors and the specialists who were tackling this, the cure for this virus, they didn't know as much on the first day about the virus as they did on the 100th day or the, you know, 99th day.
That is absolutely correct. I have some, I have an article here from a, from the Eastern Virginia Medical School with their critical care COVID-19 management protocol for prevention, mildly symptomatic and mildly symptomatic patients in the hospital or in the home, that start with vitamins. And they update these recommendations every month. So they have the latest update is from September 2nd, and they are recommending vitamin C, zinc, melatonin at night, vitamin D3, and optional famotidine, which is also known as Pepcid. And, you know, this kind of information, I think, should be just as prominent as anything else that's being recommended and is probably much more useful to 90% of the population who is asymptomatic than this fear that we're all infected and that we all need to protect the vulnerable by wearing masks, which is not necessarily good for our health.
Well, what I'm saying is it's unfair to criticize Dr. Fauci or any other medical professional who changes his instructions during a learning process and counters them to what he's learned or she's learned.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can't jump on them and say they must be wrong if they told us one thing and then they told us something else. Of course, their advice is going to be, you know, edited and finalized and then probably changed again when they learn more. So we should be trying to help each other instead of pointing fingers at each other and saying, he's wrong, he's wrong, we're right, he's wrong.
Yeah.
My suggestion, thank you very much. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. I agree with you that we don't want to be pointing the finger at each other and saying, you're wrong, and I think that swings both ways. I think we feel like, I feel like people who want to wear a mask should wear a mask. And I personally think that means that they feel like they're sick and that they want to protect others, because I don't think that wearing a mask protects your own health. That's my belief, but I think that people should be free to exercise their own beliefs in that area of free will. And if you're sick, wear a mask, you know? We have so many callers. Okay, let's see. Who's next up? We have Jacob in Santa Cruz. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jacob.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Nice to talk to you guys. I totally agree with you, Mrs. Peter. I like the idea of, you know, we don't need masks to protect ourselves in that sort of sense. And there was a video I was watching on Dr. Fauci, and he had talked about how asymptomatic people have never been the spreaders of a virus in the past, and that it's not really much of a chance of the people that are asymptomatic spreading it as much as the symptomatic people.
Yes.
That's a good point.
I've read that 99% of the infections happen indoors as well.
Indoors.
With symptomatic people, like somebody who's, you know, sniffling and coughing at the table in the room.
Yeah, and I don't want people to go work like that because that'll get me sick with the flu or any kind of virus for sure.
Yeah.
So I was always wondering why they're, you know, want to test all the people to find all the asymptomatic people if they aren't really the problem.
Yeah.
That was my, I just wanted to put that little note out there, but you can get to the rest of the callers too.
Okay. Thanks, Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah. The asymptomatic, it's a very interesting thing because it's an unknown, right? And it's easy to fear, more easy to fear the unknown.
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially if it's an airborne virus, like they're saying, and all the other fear of it floating around.
Yes.
So, I mean, I figure we'll see pretty soon enough if it is actually a super airborne virus. And
yes, if there's just a spray we could do or a light that makes it visible and we can actually see it, you know, wouldn't it be cool?
Well,
actually, you know, I have a possible answer to all this.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. My goodness. Can you hold on to that? Because we got to go to a break. But Babby's got the answer to all of this.
All right.
I'll hang up. I got to go, but you guys take the next caller. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call. All right. Welcome back to the show. I believe, Bobby, you have the answer to all of this.
Well, it's very inexpensive. And what it is, and you could check this up yourself. I would suggest, you know, you go to YouTube and watch the MedCram series and look for Harvard professor of public health, Michael Minna.
Mm-hmm.
And he is promoting that the FDA approve these paper strips that cost pennies to make, and you can get a response within 15 minutes, and it's just an antigen test. It's not as accurate as a PCR, and that's why the FDA did not approve it.
But it's cheap and easy to do.
That way everybody can have certain knowledge, and if you're infectious, then wear a mask and don't go out, and if you're not infectious, then help be courteous to other people who are afraid of you if you're not wearing masks.
And you'll know
keep your distance
minutes.
And wash your hands.
Yeah, so if we could just get the FDA to approve these paper strips and use them properly, then yes, you wouldn't need to, you know, be overprotective and damage your own health by wearing these masks. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have the board is just lit up.
Let's
thanks,
a little space. Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby. And
good
now
testing.
We're going to Walter in Pleasure Point. Hi, Walter. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. So I believe the experts missed it from the beginning. I believe it came through Santa Cruz probably in November and December.
Mm.
Masks haven't stopped it. Quarantine hasn't stopped it. Those have both been probably counterproductive. And if you go to CDC or OSHA websites, they'll tell you when you should wear a mask and when you shouldn't, and the consequences for when you wear it. So you put people in quarantine with other people that are sick, guess what's happened? So these guys have been flip-flopping since the beginning. The cure was worse than the disease. Thank you so much.
There you go. That's the important phrase. Totally agree. Thanks, Walter. All right. We got Nick from Royal Oaks. You ready? Hi, Nick. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick.
Thanks. Oh, Mr. Bizarre here.
Hey, Mr. Bizarre, what do you got for us?
Well, the coronavirus doesn't do well in the heat. It doesn't do well in dryness. Yet it's working in Arizona and Utah now. You know, it originated in the United States, and every mad scientist in the world has a sample of it now. I mean, how long did he mutate it till the next vaccination works, doesn't work, and then it goes. In this mask thing, you know that they're having mask fit now? That's going to be the new word, mask fit?
A mask fit? I mean, is that like when you have a bad mood in a mask?
Yeah, they're just starting to just go off. And then
like mask hysteria?
Oh.
All right, Nick, thanks for your comments. Got to keep going. Still got folks here.
Mask hysteria.
Don from Salinas. Hi, Don. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Don.
Hi. Yeah, on this virus, the virus itself is not a scam. Mm. How we are dealing with it is a scam.
Totally
a
agree.
A 100% scam. That, you know, like the mask is an opinion. It's not a fact. I wear seatbelts in my car because I can point to facts and figures that tell me how I can survive a crash with a seatbelt. There is no clinical study that you can point to with about the mask of how safe it's going to make you. This is a lie. The mask is just an opinion. That's all that it is. And it's a way for the government to get control over you. I mean, what's going to happen if we get a measles epidemic? Are they going to quarantine a neighborhood? If we get a flu, too many flu cases in a city, are we going to shut that city down? What's next? Because the more control you give the government, the worse it becomes. George Washington said this, government, like fire, is pure power. It makes a great servant, but a terrible master. That's exactly... Yeah, well, that's what's going on with this stuff. We cannot let the government dictate how we live. We are not owned by the government. There's a difference between a subject and a citizen. We're supposed to be a citizen. We're not subject to government control. We're becoming subjects.
Dom, what about this idea that it's not really even the government who's doing this? This is one of the things that Robert said. It's just the mass hypnosis of the people, so that really what we're dealing with is the tyrants who aren't sick, who have embraced that wearing a mask is what everyone should be doing, and they have no idea what the science is, but they've deputized themselves to enforce this non-law that everybody believes to be the government. And so you've got people that are just bullying others, and that's what's happening.
Well, actually, what you have is you have people in the government who there is a mass hysteria over this virus, and it's been ginned up by these key people in the government that want control. And they're using it. They're feeding this hysteria in order to gain more control over the people. That's what's going on. You don't have a government that's calming people down. You have a government that's scaring the hell out of people. Listen to your callers who call in, who say, oh, I know people who died from it. Well, I know people who died of heart attacks, cancer, the flu, getting hit by a bus. I'm not afraid of all those.
Yeah.
They
and you're not wearing a mask to protect yourself from it either. Wouldn't that be nice if a mask could protect you from getting hit by a bus?
It's silly. just stop and think. If we have a bad flu epidemic in Santa Cruz, are they going to shut the place down now because of the flu or the cold or something else? Chickenpox, measles. Where does this end? You know, once we give the government this, you know they're never going to give it up, and they're going to use it on other things. And now we're all afraid of socialism because socialism takes over the power of production and takes over the banks and everything. Well, look where we're at. We're on the threshold of socialist hell. They own the means of production now. They tell you when you can do business and how.
Well, do you think they should have any authority in the medical arena in terms of...
What's that?
Do you think the government should have any authority in the medical arena when it comes to giving us new behaviors we need to follow, like wearing masks?
I think for, like, the promoting the general welfare, Yes, I think the government should generally make sure that our NyQuil isn't full of arsenic, you know, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, no. Specifically, the government can stay the hell out of my life. The government can promote general welfare, but they can't do stuff like close the beaches, which is the most nonsensical thing. They want to shut down our electricity because we're using air conditioning, but they want to keep all the people in Fresno. So they're using their air conditioning instead of coming out to Santa Cruz and sitting on a nice cool beach.
Yeah,
the thing that drives me crazy about this is the idea that we're all equal, but these people in power are more equal than others because they get to make up whatever they want and decide, and then everybody else has to enforce it or they'll get fined.
Well, one last thing for you guys to think of. Do you remember when they closed all of the private beaches? The state took over the beach of California, and they told us, because this is the people's beach, it's our beach. All Californians should have access to all of the beaches. Oh, whose beach is it? It's not ours. We can't even go out there and stick our foot in the sand. It's the state's beach.
Hmm.
They took
well,
it over
we're the
and now
state.
It's...
We have to remember
no,
that
not.
We are they. We just, some of us don't remember.
Or exactly what the connection is.
Well, actually, the state seems to think that it's its own entity and we're on the king's land and we're here at their pleasure.
Rather than the other way around.
Thanks,
go ahead, Robert. What do you have to say?
One thing the state cannot do, the state cannot produce title to that land, to those beaches. So it's not theirs.
Okay.
They can't produce what?
Title to the land.
They don't have title.
We have 3 minutes and several more callers, so thank you, Don.
Okay,
thanks
a lot.
Question everything, eh, Robert?
Okay.
Yeah.
And Estelle from Santa Clara, welcome to the show.
Hey, Estelle.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good.
I just have a few things to say about what is going on with this COVID-19. Mm-hmm. A few of your callers are completely right. They have taken this out of proportion, and I work in the health department, and a lot of hospitals want you to stay there. They want you to just stay there because the Medicare will pay for your care. And America has never been this clean since I've lived here for over 40 years ago. The virus, yes.
I like that.
And
that's good.
And you know, I heard today on the radio that some people have died 4 months ago. They have passed away and they're just now counting them as COVID-19. So they have cut a lot of people have been sick with the flu, okay, but not COVID-19 is some type of flu.
Estelle, thank you so much. We're at the end of the hour now. Thanks, everybody,
Take care.
I appreciate your comments very much. We're just running out of time, so thanks,
bye
everybody.
Bye-bye.
All
right.
And I'm sorry, Phil and Walnut Creek and everybody else, we're not going to be able to get to
There'll
you
There'll be more
today.
Next week for us. When...
Dr. Future.
But thanks for coming.
Yeah.
And Robbie, thanks for being part of it. Robert, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah.
And what an interesting topic to try to figure out what's real with all this thing happening to all
thank
of
you.
Us. Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
SEO.
Thanks, folks, for listening.
Yeah.